Ranch, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News Government Shutdown Watch. I'm Michelle Franzen. After hours of wrangling to carve out an alternative spending bill to extend funding, House Speaker Mike Johnson now says there is a new deal.
We have a unified Republican conference. There is a unanimous agreement in the room that we need to move forward.
The original bipartisan deal scrapped after Elon Musk and President-elect Trump came out against it, Trump demanding lawmakers raise the debt limit. If a shutdown occurs at midnight, ABC's Mary Alice Parks says the impact would be felt immediately.
We're talking about over 3 million federal workers that can miss a paycheck as soon as January 3rd. Active duty military families, military members and their families that could miss a paycheck over the holiday season. Now, we know that about 13,000 air traffic controllers during this busy holiday season could be asked to work without pay.
No timing on a vote. If it passes the House, it then goes to the Senate, and the President Biden still has to sign it. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Dane County judge who struck down parts of the controversial Act 10 as unconstitutional has put a temporary stay on his ruling. Judge Jacob Frost announced the Act 10 decision earlier this month and has now decided on the temporary stay as the Republican-controlled state legislature appeals his ruling. He found that Act 10 violated the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitution, as some public employee unions, like first responders, maintained their bargaining rights, but others, like teachers' unions, had some of those rights limited. Wisconsin travel officials are expecting a busy and possibly record-breaking holiday season. A AAA survey estimated that nearly 2.5 million Wisconsin residents will be traveling at least 50 miles during the busiest travel season of the year, which would break last year's record high by about 75,000 travelers. With the added travel and freezing conditions on the roadways, officials are warning residents to drive carefully, account for additional travel time, and give themselves some extra space from other vehicles on the road. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed that a Barron County worker tested positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services announced the first presumptive positive case in the state earlier this week and sent a sample to the CDC for confirmation. The positive human test came just days after the first positive test in a poultry flock. DHS officials are monitoring all the workers who came into contact with the infected flock and may have been exposed to the highly contagious virus. The Barron County District Attorney says no criminal charges will be filed in relation to a fatal motorcycle collision in September. The crash occurred on September 29th at the intersection of County Highway W and 19th Street in Barron County. Authorities say the driver of the vehicle made a left turn onto 19th Street and cut in front of the motorcycle. A blood sample showed no impairment in the driver and speed was not a factor. While no criminal charges were filed, the driver was cited for making an improper left turn resulting in death to another. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup, the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road tonight against the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are 14-11 after the break. The Cavaliers in first place at 23-4. Three former Bucks players named nominees to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Marcus Johnson, Terry Cummings, and John McLaughlin, and Coach Doc Rivers, also named a nominee. College basketball, the Badgers go back to work this weekend at the Kohl Center. They will host a Horizon League team, the Detroit Mercy Titans, at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. NFL, Packers practicing in the snow. There's a chance for some flurries Monday night when they host the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs says he likes games in the snow.
I like the game just because, you know, cold games, snow games, because defenders don't really want to hit. It kind of make them make decisions. You got to kind of make a business decision at times, and it's easier for me because I'm going to make you have to make that decision.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful, with the sunlight making the fresh snow sparkle. High temperatures today only tap the teens and slide sub-zero overnight. This means tomorrow it'll be a chilly one with highs remaining in the teens. A few more clouds filter in for Sunday, but we stay dry all weekend long. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for an all-new live show. We'll preview the big Monday night football game, the Green Bay Packers. Brady Ewing will be here, and many more surprises. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, 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 one and all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the middle of our Civic Media grown-up gift bag text-to-win contest. You can win all kinds of things. We give away one prize in the hours that we drop keywords on you. The next keyword hour will start at 4 p.m., so you're not going to want to go anywhere. When you text in that keyword via the Civic Media app, got to do it via the app, you will be entered to win as one of the prizes that's given away that hour. Each hour that we drop the keyword, we're either giving away $100 in cold hard cash or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista, and your text will enter you to win one of our grown-up gifts. Grand prizes, including humidifiers, luggage, espresso machine, a couple of robot vacuums. Got to tell you, that thing changed my life. You won't see me pushing a vacuum around. Just get out the little rope. What are they called? I don't even remember what the one is called. It just cleans my floors for me. It's very helpful.
The Swiffer sweeper?
Yeah, the Swiffer. The Roomba.
Yeah, we recombobulated there, Maggie.
That's Dan Schaefer recombobulating because sometimes my brainy no worky. The Roomba, I've got a Roomba second generation. You're not going to want to miss out. So get that Civic Media app downloaded and join the fun. You just heard him, folks. His name's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor for Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We've been recombobulating 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025, give you some things to keep your eyeballs on. We just talked about the fact that we, in the state of Wisconsin, on a local legislative basis, or statewide legislative basis, had an election with fair maps, finally. We had Dems pick up a bunch in the state legislature in highly competitive races. What was the sort of final batting averages coming out of the fall election?
Yeah, so in the assembly, I would say the Democrats maybe got a little bit less than I was expecting, that many people were hoping for. There was a real chance that they could flip the chamber. They came up 5 seats short. So it's going to be a 54 to 45 balance in the Wisconsin State Assembly and the Republican majority. They're much smaller than the near supermajority status that they had previously. Yes. So Democrats were able to pick up 10 seats there, which is significant, and narrow that margin quite a bit. And then I think the real terrific performance that Democrats had in the legislature was in the state Senate. So yes, there were 5 races there, 4 that were either, you know, previously Republican held or had a Republican incumbent, and then another that was a Democratic seat. Brad Paff was the state senator there. And, you know, it was like, OK, these are the 5 races that are going to be the most competitive in the state Senate. Democrats won all 5. So they were able to There we go. They were able to pick up all five of those seats, end the Republican supermajority in the state Senate and get it to an 18-15 breakdown and really put the Senate majority in play for 2026 when the rest of the chamber will be on the ballot. So I think, you know, that is a really, really that's something that, you know, Wisconsin state Senate Democrats can really be proud of there.
Yeah, I think overall a big win for democracy, small d, because, again, competitive districts should always be the point. It's how we ensure that our government is actually responsive to us. And I've been heartened to see these changes on the state level, right, on the state and local level here in Wisconsin. You know, everybody pays attention to the national political discourse, but the saying is all politics is local. And that's not only true on a grassroots organizing basis, it's true on the impact measure as well. The things that really impact your quality of life the most are the things that are being done by state and local government, which, you know, if we quizzed 100 people, right, walked out and talked to the first 100 people we met on the street, Dan, I'd wager that less than 20% of them could likely name their alder person, their alderman, alderwoman, and their state senator and legislator. You know, and it's these are the people that by far impact what's happening the most.
Impact your schools, impact your healthcare access, impact like all sorts of different things about your local economy. Absolutely. And I think democracy to me is built from the ground up.
Yeah.
And it is from these local races, is from places like state assembly or city council or your school board or whatever it might be. So I think, you know, as we look ahead to next year, there's going to be a lot of those types of races that we're seeing. But it's also really important to recognize, you know, this is if you're feeling, disillusioned by Trump's election, whatever it might be. You need to start by looking local. You need to start by looking at your local office. That's where you can make the most impact, and that's what has the most impact on your day-to-day life.
One of the things, Cardi, can you turn my levels up just a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. One of the things that I often struggle with is trying to explain to people that despite all the stuff they hear, how incredibly like nonpartisan the vast majority of government operations are. Like,
right. There's not a right and left to snow removal.
Yes. I was just going to say, do you want your garbage picked up? Do you want the snow removed? Do you want a vibrant educational system, good public libraries, your potholes filled? You know, like there's so much oxygen sucked up by all of the screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
It's why I couldn't agree with you more, Dan, when people say to me, oh, I don't know, this is so terrible. I just say, hey, maybe put your head down, put the blinders on to the national stuff.
Yes.
And get engaged with your local electeds, get to know them. Local electeds are incredibly responsive. If you feel like no one's listening to you, I have a tip. Call your local alderman or email them. I guarantee someone will get back to you. Like, call your state assembly person. Call your state senator. Someone will nearly certainly get back to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Participation is power.
Absolutely. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He is the political editor at Civic Media. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about things from 2024 that I think are historic, once in a lifetime events. And that was the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. In addition to the Maggie Dawn, why did Donald Trump win, five factors, which are existential economic angst, which is in good faith, the charismatic messenger that people believe is authentic, the otherizing of groups to villainize, the metastasizing of that, the information sewer that let all that grow, and then the false notion of zero sum and that we're all in a dog eat dog world. Those five things, you could maybe add the assassination attempt. I think it was big. I think it moved a lot of people. It was sort of the symbolic embodiment of Trump's argument that I have been targeted, right? That I am actually the victim here, and you watched it happen. Where do you put it on sort of impact on the election spectrum?
I think you're right. I think it's been totally overlooked as something that's really important. And I think one of the things that, you know, has come out in some of the post-election polling and analysis and all of that is that people who don't necessarily follow the day-to-day news tended to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But what I think it probably, if you're not somebody who follows the day-to-day news, if you're not part of the, you know, political discourse on a day-to-day basis, one story that you definitely saw
was
the assassination attempt and Trump's pretty remarkable response in the moment to that, right? I mean, I can disagree with him about anything, but like, you know, the way he kind of stood back up, and I think everybody saw that, right?
Yes.
Everybody saw that. No matter how much you pay attention to politics, everybody saw that moment. And then the RNC in Milwaukee immediately followed that, was just days after the assassination attempt. And so it really was this just rallying around Trump as the candidate, Trump, you know, surviving this assassination attempt. I think it was a huge factor.
Yeah. If all you knew as a or all you really like cut through the noise to you was the assassination attempt, Biden dropping out.
Right.
And you're overall like, this sucks from the post-COVID, you know, malaise that I think many of us are still struggling to break free of. And of course, the economic contractions that happened after that. And, you know, pocketbook economics always trail national economics, right? And, mm-hmm. and if all you heard or that resonated with you was assassination, Biden dropping out, and all the Dems are saying is that the economy's fine.
Yeah. And everything's more expensive. And I'm, you know,
like,
ridiculous.
Absent
and,
other contrary information, like that equates to a vote for Donald Trump. And that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah.
That was historic, the dropping out. I mean, holy cow. I think historians, you know, my immediate take on that was, you know, Biden will be hailed as a hero, you know, for doing this. I presumed incorrectly so, I'll say this about myself, that Kamala would win.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to me to see how history judges that, to wit, what were you doing running in the first place? Why didn't you drop out earlier? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you, again, announce that you weren't running, allow a contested primary process, all of that. I think that one's that whole box, I'm going to say, it's TBD about how history will view it.
There's a great quote that I like about legacies, and it's, you're remembered by the sum of your accomplishments, but defined by your singular failure.
Your worst thing.
And then I think that is going to be what ultimately defines Joe Biden's legacy, his inability to step aside when he should have.
Yeah, much earlier.
And I think, I think the biggest reason that I think that Donald Trump was reelected was because of Joe Biden, was because he was an unpopular incumbent running in a year where incumbents across the world are losing elections. And he did not step aside in time to give allow for a real primary process, because nobody's going to challenge the sitting president who's running for re-election in a primary. Like, the people who made that argument were ridiculous. But I think, you know, to give Kamala Harris only 107 days to run and to not let the voters pick the candidate, even though, you know, they may have
picked
Harris.
Her anyway.
She may have been their can't pick, but to you know, I think that will ultimately be his singular failure. It was his decision ultimately led to Donald Trump
and his alone
running again.
And his alone. And his alone. Ultimately, that is the decision to back out was his and his alone. The decision to run for re-election was his and his alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bear the consequences for that. I think a short postscript. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got one more segment with my good friend Dan. Don't go anywhere. It's not even worth it. Hey, you know,
hit it. Whoa. You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Dan Schaefer with me. He's the political editor for Civic Media. Thanks so much for spending an hour with all of us today, Dan. You're going to have to turn Dan's mic on for me, Cardi.
Sorry about that,
Dan. That's all right. We want to pre-combobulate 2025.
That's right.
What are, like, the top few things that you think people should keep their eye on for 2025?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we talked about what happened in 2024. There were so many elections in 2024, and we're going to have more of them in 2025. But I think the main way that the cycle works in the state of Wisconsin is we have an election year, and then we have a budget year. Right. Yes. So I think if we're looking ahead to what the big story is going to be for 2025, it is going to be the state budget. And I think it is going to be, you know, there's some really important battles to come on K-12 education funding, on higher education funding, on tax cuts, on so many different things. And I think that is going to be certainly going to dominate the early part of the year for the policy conversation, which I know you love here on this show.
Sure do. Love me some wonk. You know, we basically got into the discussion about education funding right at the top of our chat today. And I think that's a big one to watch in this next budget fight.
Yeah, and I think that is a big one. We're going to see, you know, a debate on taxes. You know, Robin Voss has already signaled, like, oh, he wants a tax cut. Republicans hitting their one economic policy button yet again.
That's real fair right there. Have you ever heard anything salient from Republicans that is of any substance other than, like, tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts?
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get a little deregulation, but deregulation is always a version of tax cuts, really.
Yeah. And so I had a chance to talk this week with Greta Neubauer, the Democratic minority leader, about some of that. And so she's like, yeah, we can have a conversation about tax cuts, about what that might be. But we want it centered on middle class and working class and people people who really need a couple extra bucks in their pocketbook and not the the wealthiest Wisconsinites and the big corporations, which,
not,
you know,
Tim Michaels.
We've all followed Robin Ross's time as Assembly Speaker for long enough where we're not going to be surprised by a tax cut that is very tilted in that direction. So, you know, that's going to be a really important debate coming up this year as well.
Folks, that is Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. We're pre-combobulating 2025. Yeah, the budget fight is huge, I think, as well. And I'd like your thoughts on it. The Supreme Court race in April. Listen, Wisconsinites, you want reasonableness. You want maps where districts are competitive, where your elected officials actually have to respond to your requests and needs, no matter what side of the aisle you may lean towards or consider yourself a part of. This Supreme Court race will matter. Tell us what to expect, Dan.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. We, you know, 2023, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race was the most expensive state Supreme Court race ever in American history, I believe. It's certainly possible that this will eclipse that. So as much as, you know, I was saying that we have this cycle of we have an election year and then we have a budget year. Well, it's Wisconsin. We don't really get that much of a break from the election cycle. So we're kind of in this space right now where we're not really ramped up for what the state Supreme Court race will be. But, you know, Judge Susan Crawford, the candidate endorsed by the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and Brad Schimmel, the conservative candidate, you know, it looks like it's just going to be a two-horse race in this one.
I have a funny Schimmel story.
Okay.
Brad is a short little guy.
Is he?
Yeah, real short. And he has met me on a number of occasions. Legally related stuff.
Sure.
Going back to when I sued the opioid manufacturers and distributors when I was still at Milwaukee County, and just a bunch of things. And he's been a judge, etc. So we're both lawyers. We'd run into each other. I also happen to play the violin, and I've done it for a long time. So on occasion, I'll get a call. Hey, can you play at this wedding or what have you?
Sure.
So I played a wedding. And, you know, you wear all black when you do this because you're not the thing, right? You just blend in. And Schimmel was the officiant, okay? And we were running through the ceremony, and I'm playing and doing my thing. And Schimmel keeps looking at me. And he keeps looking at me because, you know, I'm 6 feet tall. I had heels. And eventually we got done with the run-through, and he comes up to me, and he's like, Where do I know you from? Right? Because I was there as a musician, and he was just, his brain was just like, where do I know this lady from? Yeah. And you know, I'm tall, so I kind of start. So I helped him out a little bit. He's very nice man, interpersonally. Very, very nice man. Again, a short little fellow.
Oh, that's a funny moment.
Yes. Yeah. So pre-combobulating, yes, the budget fight clearly and the Supreme Court race. Do you have a third item that you're keeping your eye on?
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, we've seen so much of it and we've talked about it a little bit, the referenda of things.
Yes.
And I think that's just going to be a really big story if we go forward in the same way this year. And I think, you know, I think it'll only have the option to do that in the spring election. So I think, you know, we'll turn right back around and get into election cycle for the Supreme Court race, which, like you mentioned, I think is going to be huge and tremendously important to keep that pro-democracy majority that we have on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. I guess the third thing, you know, and I've been reporting about it a little bit, Ben Wickler, what's he going to do? Is he going to win this race for DNC chair? And what type of, you know, kind of ripple effects that will have for the state party, for the, you know, the 2026 governor's race, for all sorts of different things.
Ben, we need you. Yeah, but so does the country, perhaps, and the party. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. You can find all of his great work and join the recombobulation by going to civicmedia.us. Is it still on Substack, too?
Right. You can still subscribe to the recombobulation area. Get those email stories, all of the roundups of all of my radio appearances from week to week.
I've been getting those for years. Inbox. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you. Thanks for your help today. I'm Maggie Dawn. Everybody, keep it locked. When we come back, I've got Terry Barr with what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday. When we look ahead to policy development in the new year, Assembly Agriculture Chair Travis Tranel says land use has been a big topic. While he was on the campaign trail this past year, he said renewable energy projects on farmland was a theme constituents wanted addressed in the legislature.
Farming is part of our heritage, and we don't want people moving from Illinois into Wisconsin and telling us how we can or cannot farm. But what people that have lived here for generations are concerned about is in 2009 took away all local control when it comes to siting energy projects that are over 100 megawatts. And that is something that I think we need to take a serious look at, because I heard over and over and over again, people in rural Wisconsin do not want to look at 1,000-acre solar farms, and they don't want windmills that are 600 feet tall out their front window. And I don't think that's too much to ask. So that's certainly something we can look at.
Representative Travis Tranel chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
The holiday season is a time for celebration, and nothing brings people together quite like cheese. Whether it's a festive cheese board or a thoughtful gift, Wisconsin cheese is the perfect addition to your holiday plans. Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, shares that the best part is it's easy to find, whether you're shopping in store or online.
You can go to probably any local Wisconsin retailer and find Wisconsin cheese, because Wisconsin cheese is in 99% of grocery stores across the country. But if you don't have time to get out too, you can simply go online and shop locally by creating a Wisconsin cheese gift basket from your local retailer. And we also really encourage you when you're out shopping to look for that Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge, because it's the ultimate identification to let consumers know that it's the highest quality, winning awards, and made with Wisconsin milk.
For recipes, pairings, or ideas for your holiday spread, visit wisconsincheese.com.
Today is the first day of Wheels of Agriculture at the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center. This is a special holiday showcase of tractors and farm equipment. It runs today through January 4th. Come by with the family to see a range of impressive machinery, each with a special use in modern day agriculture. Several colors and brands are on display with cutting edge technology that you can see up close. Again, that's at the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center in Manitowoc. In other news, don't forget to register for the Farm and Industry Short Course Reunion. This will be on January 24th on the UW-Madison campus. We have the link to register at MidwestFarmReport.com. You're going to want to have that done before January 8th. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful, with the sunlight making the fresh snow sparkle. High temperatures today only tap the teens and slide sub-zero overnight. This means tomorrow it'll be a chilly one with highs remaining in the teens. A few more clouds filter in for Sunday, but we stay dry all weekend long. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a simple way to reduce the burden on property taxpayers. Have the legislature go back to paying its fair share for special education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Butterflies in her eyes and her looks to kill. Time is passing, I'm asking, could this be real? Cause I can't sleep, I can't hold still. The only thing I really know is she got sex appeal. I can feel, too much is never enough. You always there to lift me up.
Happy Friday, everyone, and happy early holidays. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your friendly lawyer economist on the air, but occasionally I do like to take a break from all of the lawyering and the economizing and the politicking of the day. And we have this great segment every Friday afternoon at 3:30. I'm joined by my good friend and Civic Media colleague, Terry Barr, to talk about what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. And it is so good to talk about these things right before the holidays. I'm taking a little break. I think Terry's getting a little break. So I'm so happy to be joined by Terry right now. Thanks so much for making time as we head off into the holiday break. Terry, thanks so much. Terry, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
Oh, you guys, thank you. Do you have your sleigh ready to go to take you off and whisk you away to somewhere wonderful?
I certainly hope so. It's funny that you mentioned that, because with this fresh snowfall yesterday, I was hearkening back to my sledding days of yore and some of the little precarious situations that I've gotten myself into. A little too kamikaze in my younger days, Terry, I gotta say.
And snowmobiling. I don't even really like snow anymore, so snowshoeing is about the most I'll do. Snowmobiling used to be so much fun. And I know now it's, you know, you got the heaters, you've got your gloves heated, everything's heated. So you kind of lose that old school snowmobile feel.
Yeah, it ain't what it was. I mean, the first time I was ever on a snowmobile, I think I was about 12 years old, and I was so freaking cold. I remember thinking to myself, like, when can I get off of this thing? Like, when does this ride stop? I was just so cold. Yeah, it's a different ball of wax entirely these days. I do. Maybe you won't be surprised to know, Terry, I have a pair of snowshoes. I like some snowshoeing. Yes.
Okay. We might have to bond over snowshoeing sometime this winter.
Oh, I would love that, Terry.
Me too. I've made some great friends just by going on random snowshoe hikes.
Absolutely. So, well, it's sort of like finds like. You're like, oh, you're a crazy person out here in the snow too. Hello, friend. 100%. I'm with you.
Exactly.
They were, in fact, a wonderful Christmas present that I got about, I don't know, like before COVID by a few years, because I got to take them out a few times. And they're the real light ones, the fiberglass ones.
Aren't they terrific?
That was a whole new ball game. I had been on some old school snowshoes before. That was much more work. Much more work.
Well, I have got some good local overlooked. Yes, good news for you.
I love it.
And, you know, with the snow we've had in the week, we could have maybe used Rudolph to get us through the snow.
Yes.
I know you've been talking about your favorite holiday music, and of course your not favorite.
Yes.
Where does Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer rank on your holiday music?
It's a great question. We had one of our texters when we did this segment on Wednesday was not a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer fan. But I have to say, as a perpetual underdog, as someone who became a lawyer to fight for the underdog, who's someone who tries to always stand up for people who may not have a mic in their face or an elevated platform to speak from. I love the underdog story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and so I love the song.
Oh, that you put that perfectly. That ties into everything for everyone. Did you know, though, there is a Wisconsin connection to Rudolph? And I can tell you all about it.
I did not make me smarter, Terry.
Oh, Maury Laws. called Appleton Home. He moved there with his wife in the 1980s. She actually had family there and decided, you know, Maury, let's go be closer to my family. They had lived in both New York City and Hollywood. And that's when Maury made a name for himself. His break came on the Ed Sullivan Show.
That tracks.
Young guy gets on there, plays guitar, and his career takes off. He ends up being the musical director for many movies back in the 60s and 70s. But prior to that, his claim to fame, he did all the music for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He was considered the musical director of that. He also did, and this I only learned recently, I knew about his connection to Rudolph, but he also wrote and directed the music for Frosty the Snowman.
I was just going to say, because there is, that was going to be my very next question, was he involved with Frosty the Snowman? Because there is clearly a musical viewpoint and like a shared aesthetic in both of those movies.
And so he did work with the likes of Burl Ives, Fred Astaire, all of these people that when you hear their voice, you know them from these beautiful stop action cartoons, I guess I will call it. And here to know, Maury Laws was sitting in Appleton, Wisconsin, writing some of the greatest music of our time, especially when it comes to the holidays. It's kind of funny when they moved to Appleton, and I worked for a short time with Maury's wife. She was a television producer on the big scene in New York and Hollywood, and then came and worked with us in Green Bay, which was just wonderful to get her viewpoint. But she once told us, her only request with Maury in moving to Appleton was there had to be some kind of musical community that he could be a big part of. And he ended up directing the orchestra and getting involved at Lawrence University. So he came and made him a name for himself right here in Appleton, Wisconsin as well. So I just love that story so much.
That is amazing. I'm smarter for it now. Maury Laws relocating to Appleton, Wisconsin, helping create two of the most iconic Christmas movies and Christmas jingles that are really now top of mind numbers for anybody that grows up in the United States. I mean, everybody knows those jingles.
Yeah. And they did live there until he passed away, which he was 95 years old. And we lost him in 2019. But he lived there, a good chunk of his life.
Well, thank you to the Laws family for sharing your parents' wonderful talents with all of us. What a small, small world it is. You know,
I know.
From me to you to Maury's wife to Maury to Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman, I feel more in the Christmas spirit with every passing second, Terry. What else you got for us this afternoon?
There are all the connections. I could see the map you were drawing. That was perfect. You know, the other thing I think a lot of people like to do is drive around, of course, and look at the holiday light displays. I love when I can get out of the car, honestly, and be able to walk around in amongst all the light displays. But there is one that is really growing in both entertainment value and because it's helping raise money for the MAC Fund, which, of course, is a fund that helps fight childhood cancer. This is called Candy Cane Lane, and it's in West Allis. It's been up and running for the past week or so, and it runs right through the Christmas holiday. Every year, more people in the Candy Cane Lane neighborhood, which is right around Oklahoma Street in West Allis, join in. And this year, 300 different homes in this area are all lit up. And of course, now it's become one of those, can we outdo the neighbors, which I hear is super fun for everybody in West Allis. People come from all over now that they're learning about Candy Cane Lane, the light displays, and the reason behind it. So there will be Santa on hand and some reindeer next week if you want to visit Candy Cane Lane. But let me tell you the most important part. Along with those 300 homes this year, they added up what they've raised for the MAC Fund in just 7 years. they have raised more than $1 million.
So, Terry, I love that you're talking about Candy Cane Lane because I love it when our brains do the same thing. So just I can't even remember if it was this past week or when it was or if it's coming up. I have talked about Candy Cane Lane on the show, and the year that this started, like the first version of it before it was called anything, it was basically just a ton of the neighbors put up a lot of kind of over the top decorations, was in 1986. That was the first year. And they had designated, hey, let's take donations and we'll donate them to the MAC fund. And that first year, they raised just around $1,500. And so if you total up, I love that you know the total for the last 7 years, because I had looked up the total since 1986. And the total amount that they've raised for the MAC fund, which is a childhood cancer awareness, education, and support charity,
yes,
they have raised in that total amount of time over $3 million. Which
wow. So I have the low number for 7 years, and you put that all together. That's incredible.
Isn't that amazing? And they've got some of the neighbors. Again, you got the neighbor that dresses up like Santa. You've got neighbors that dress up like elves. You've got the reindeers out there. They give away candy for free. It is really an absolute treasure. I also unabashedly will shop for decorating ideas from the Candy Cane Lane homes, because, you know, why reinvent the wheel? Just steal the wheel from somebody else's good decorating ideas.
I'm fully behind that idea. There's also a neighborhood now in Madison, along Monroe Street. They are not yet collecting for a charity, but I've heard talk is that they are going to start next year, because they now have some 500 blown up Santas all along Monroe Street. And I was talking with an Uber driver who said he drove some folks who were visiting from out of state, and he had to drive down Monroe Street in Madison. And they looked at him and said, "What is going on?"
Oh, is that hilarious? You always know it's the Uber drivers that always have the inside stuff, right? It used to be the taxi cab drivers. It's always now the Uber and Lyft drivers that know all the info. Also going on in and around southeastern Wisconsin, since I broadcast from 540 WAUK, I love the downtown light shows that they have all around downtown Milwaukee. One of my favorite is the one in Cathedral Square Park, where different grade school children get to decorate different Christmas trees in the park. They light up all the pathways. It's just beautiful. I love looking at the Christmas lights. One of my favorite activities for the holiday season. Well, Terry, thank you so much. And I want to say very personally to you and your MaxInc Radio family, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It is such a pleasure for me every Friday to look forward to our conversations and to have gotten to know you as we have over this near year of doing this together. So thanks so much, Terry, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, and right back at you and your family and, of course, your listeners. Thanks for everything. And I hope everybody has the very merriest of holidays. Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you, Terry. I second that emotion. Happy holidays to all of you. When we come back, I'm going to give you my sort of final thoughts and some holiday wishes for each and every one of you, because, of course, here at Civic Media, we're not doing this except for all of you. You are our radio family. So everybody, keep it locked. It is also the very last day for Civic Media's grown-up gift list text to win sweepstakes contest. We're minutes away from the very last keyword of the contest that's going to be coming up for you in the 4 o'clock hour with my little buddy Dom Salia. So keep it locked right here on Civic Media. We appreciate you. Happy holidays. Again, my final thoughts for the holidays, my wishes to you and yours and your family for a wonderful holiday season coming up next. Stay tuned right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and bold. Oh, how they pound, raising their sound, o'er hill and dale, telling their tales.
the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest. Shane Matinere is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinere on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I gotta say, everybody, I'm pretty excited because it is my last segment of radio until 2025. It's been quite a year for me, and I just thought I would share with all of you a little bit about what this particular holiday season means for me, because it has been quite a year. But before we get to that, I want to start by giving some thanks to my colleagues at Civic Media. There's a whole bunch of pretty incredible people who are going to guest host for me over this holiday time. I also, of course, have to thank my producer, Cardi, who's been amazing. Luke, Corey, Jamie, everybody from the Civic Media team who has helped make the show what it can be and so much more, and have taken care of me and everybody else during this holiday season to give us a little bit of a breather and time off. So big thanks, Calvin, Jess P.S., Aaron Sommers, everybody who makes this work. I just want to say I'm incredibly humbled by everyone's dedication to this project called Civic Media. And to the idea that through real news and great conversation, we can actually come together. We may disagree, but we can come together and continue to have those productive conversations. So this is what really has brought me to my reflection about this holiday season in particular. It has been quite a year for me. If you would have asked me even 3 years ago, do you think you would be doing radio full time? I would have laughed at you and said, you've got to be kidding me. Now, that's not to say that I don't like to talk. I do. There's no one that knows me that would ever confuse me for someone who bites their tongue. I don't. But I just didn't see this in the cards. So for me, this incredibly tumultuous year started out with my own personal upheaval, which was leaving a job that had really helped me find a deep sense of purpose and to express my values as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel for many, many years, over 7 years, through extremely difficult times at the county. And I didn't envision myself leaving that job or the incredible people there that I love so much and respect so much for what they do as public servants. But as I looked at what 2024 promised to be with the presidential election cycle, I could not say no to the opportunity to be with each and every one of you every day and to try to talk about these things that are so important. Now, even though the candidate that I preferred lost this presidential election, I think I would have been absolutely inconsolable had I declined the offer to come and join Civic Media and be with each of you every day as we went through, which was an absolute historic, one-of-a-kind presidential election season. The fact that I was able to do this work with you and be in conversation and community with each of you made it much more deeply meaningful to me, but also made it possible for me to process, accept, and accept the election results, and to also celebrate some of the incredible bright spots from this past election season. And it is because of this experience with you, in community with you, having sometimes very difficult conversations, but great conversation, that I feel incredibly hopeful for 2025 and the continued project of Civic Media and the continued project of trying to have great conversation with those that we disagree with. But that all of those things are going to be rooted in shared values and mutual respect. So this holiday season will be a time of rest, of resetting for me, and a lot of reflection and thanks. And so I wanted to end my last broadcast here in 2024 with each and every one of you from a place of deep thanks. My thanks to you, my thanks to each of you for caring, for listening, and for sharing with me. I wouldn't be here without you. I look forward to continuing to do this work with you. And again, thank you. You have my best wishes to each and every one of you and your families and friends for an absolutely blessed holiday season and a better 2025. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I'm your friendly local economist, lawyer, friend on the radio. You can find me here from 2 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. I'll be back in 2025, but you're going to want to keep it locked. The whole season, we'll have some special guests. There'll even be a couple of segments where I share some special holiday memories with you. Again, happy holidays to all. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Lick your lips as I soak my feet. And then you know this little carpet burn. My stomach drop and my guts turn. You shrug and it's the words to truly stuck the knife in fur. I cheated myself. Like I knew I would. I told you I was troubled. You know that I'm no good. I cheated myself. Like I knew I would. I told you
you're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Salvia.
Next time, will the Musk-Trump GOP get to a Plan C to fund the government before midnight Friday? Also, what impact does the ABC-Disney settlement have on journalism? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News Government Shutdown Watch. I'm Michelle Franzen. With less than 8 hours before government funding runs out, GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson says Republicans have an agreement on an alternate plan. That after the president-elect Trump called for Republicans to extend the debt ceiling limit. ABC's Jay O'Brien is on Capitol Hill and says Johnson could separate the measures.
A combination plan. It involves an extension of government funding until March, that $100 billion or so dollars in disaster assistance and direct aid for farmers in one plan that gets passed under what's called suspension, meaning it gets put on the House floor and it would need support of Democrats in order to pass. That's how Johnson tried to pass his plan B last night. That failed.
More than 3 million government workers would be impacted if a government shutdown occurs at midnight, including TSA and air traffic controllers who would be asked to work without pay until there is a fix. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.